Heard one, heard two, it's time to go. We come through on fourth and inches and won't stop until we score. Had the game ahead locked and put it in the figure four. We ain't worried about a hater, baby, we just build and grow. The Joe and Joey show, football, b-ball fights, pick a topic. Like Khabib on his run, yeah, they tried but couldn't stop us. Watch us, yeah, we rockin', hot as Puerto Rico, we the wave. Go on and place your bets, check the over-under, we the fade. Yeah. It's no debate, we the greatest, but we debating your favorites greater. Raising points of discussion, then we question. Feeling like Michael Jordan with the Bulls. Feeling like I'm about to rage, KG with the Timberwolves. I'm getting pulled in all kinds of directions. To the game, yeah, you know that that's the best one. So just watch or just listen to the guys. Tune in to the show, Joe and Joey on the ride.
Welcome back to the Joe and Joey Show, everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in. Podcast episode 41. We're going to be talking about UFC 300 today. Let's get right into it, Joe, okay?
Let's go. Best card ever.
Yeah, great card, man. UFC 300 is finally here in Las Vegas, in the Sphere. That'll be pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Let's get right into the fights, man. So let's start with the main event first. The best fight of the night, Alex Pereira taking on Jamahal Hill. Alex Pereira is the current champion. Jamahal Hill is a former UFC championship. Never lost the belt. Had to vacate it, though, because he blew his Achilles out last July. So the odds right now are Alex Pereira minus 130, Jamahal Hill plus 110. Odds are pretty close. How do you see the fight going?
This one's tricky. It's kind of tough for me. I can't bet against Poatan again. You know, we took Jiří and Poatan's last fight, finished him.
Dude, oh, man.
Heartbreaking. We thought, you know, we thought we were in good shape there. Didn't go our way. But I just think the way I see it playing out is Jamahal Hill is going to try and stand up and strike with Poatan. I don't think that's the right strategy. I think he needs to try and take him to the ground and slow the fight down a little bit. Kind of make it ugly and boring, not, you know, flashy stand-up, point fighting, striking. Unfortunately for Jamahal Hill, I don't think that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, Jamahal Hill's been talking a lot, especially on his podcast. He's got his own channel called Sweet Dreams Jamahal Hill. He's been talking, you know, a lot, just saying that he's not going to take Alex to the ground. He's going to outstrike him. He's going to knock him out. You know, he wants to prove the fans wrong. A lot of the fans are trash-talking him, and he feels disrespected. So he's going out there to prove a point, and he's all business. If you've seen his interviews, he's like, I'm going to knock this guy out. I've been disrespected. I never lost the title. You know, I had to vacate it because I blew my Achilles out. So this guy is motivated, man, but he's on a 14-month, you know, octagon spell, right? He hasn't been in the octagon in 14 months, blew his Achilles out. It's hard for me to pick him for those reasons alone. Yep. You know, a lot of people believe in ring rust. So it's hard for me to pick Jamahal Hill. I can see why the odds are close, though. Both guys have knockout power. I could see both guys winning. But I'm with you. I'd probably go with Alex Pereira barely just because he's been more active and he has that crazy one-punch knockout power. I don't know if you saw, it came out yesterday. Alex Pereira was at the UFC PI, and they have a punching machine that grades your punching power.
Yeah, I saw that.
He beat Francis Ngannou's record at the PI for punching power. So, I mean, we all knew Alex Pereira can, you know, he knocks everybody out. But, I mean, to beat Francis Ngannou's record, I mean, this guy truly has special power.
Yeah, he's got special power. He's a special talent. I think Pereira is the best striker in the UFC. You know, I some people might think it's O'Malley. I think it's Poatan. Mm-hmm. You know, just because the power, you know, O'Malley has the power too, but Poatan just has different kind of power.
Yeah, yeah. No, O'Malley's got timing.
Yeah.
O'Malley's special with the timing, like McGregor, but true power, I mean, Pereira's up there.
Yeah, he's definitely up there. But I think it'll be interesting because, like you said, Jamahal Hill feels disrespected. And you have to factor in all those things that you name. I think that's important. But I think Pereira is going to be motivated here as well. He's going to try and finish Hill as early as possible because he wants to fight in the next UFC event, which is in his home country of Brazil. So I think that's going to provide extra motivation for him. So
that's a quick turnaround. I don't think he should be looking past Jamahal Hill, though. That's a scary opponent. Guy knocks people out.
Yeah.
only lost one fight in the UFC, and it was like one of his debut fights. So this guy's been on a tear. You know, he's looking to prove everybody wrong, get his belt back. He's never lost as a champion.
Yeah, he's a tough guy from Chicago.
Yeah, so. From Chicago, Illinois. I mean, you know, this guy comes from nothing, comes from the mud. So it's gonna be a tough fight. The Achilles really worries me, though, and the ring rust at the same time. I don't know how sharp he's going to be, how his timing's going to be. But, you know, he beat the shit out of Glover Teixeira, and that's Alex Pereira's coach. So we were watching that fight earlier. He beat him pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, older, you know, obviously on the back end of his career.
The guy's a champion, though.
Yeah, but we'll see. You know, Jamal Hill, like you said, ring rust, 14 months. I think he comes out rusty. If he can survive that first round with Pajeda and, you know, kind of settle in a little bit, I think it could be a 50-50 fight after the first round.
Yep. To me, Jamal Hill, I mean, he can't. If you're going to try to outstrike a master kickboxer, you're probably going to lose. Like, the odds are not in your favor. So this guy has to use his wrestling.
I would hope so.
And he's got great wrestling, too. He trains with great, you know, he's a jiu-jitsu black belt. And he started MMA in jiu-jitsu and wrestling, so that's his roots. So he's got to go to that, I think. Instead of, you know, saying he's going to knock Alex out, he's not going to take him down. I don't know if that's a smart business decision.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's interesting to see that because, you know, I would be happier for him if he took the approach of this is a business decision. I'm not going to outstrike every opponent I face. I have to use my wrestling, my ground game. But we'll see how his ego is. Is he going to follow the game plan and listen to his coaches and try and, you know, muck it up a little bit, take him to the ground, slow the fight down? Or is he going to say, pull like a Justin Gaethje and just say, this is for the fans. It's all striking. We're going to put on a show. Yeah, man. And whoever gets knocked out gets knocked out.
Fight smart, dude. You know, you want your belt back. If you don't fight smart, you're playing with fire, dude, honestly.
Yeah.
And then it's a real 50-50 fight, and you can take brain damage in this fight. So I would fight smart if I were you, Jamal Hill. You know, maybe test out the early exchanges, but if you're not, you know, piecing Alex up in the beginning, man, I would try to go for that takedown for sure.
Yeah, and to me, what I see from Jamal Hill just when we were watching his film earlier, he doesn't seem, I was talking about his build, bird chest, big arms, you know, chubby stomach. To me, he doesn't seem disciplined.
That doesn't matter in fighting, though. Daniel Cormier was fat as shit, and he was a two-division world champion.
That's a good point.
Muscles don't win fights.
Yeah, that's a good point, but I mean, Cormier, he was fat, but to me, he just seems, I don't know why, just the way he fights. Maybe he's cocky, or maybe he was just that good. He seems like a little undisciplined to me. I feel like when you're fighting Poatan, you have to be, you know, on top of your game. You have to be disciplined. You have to follow your game plan, which is, you know, try and take him to the ground.
Yep.
I don't see that happening. That's why I got Poatan. Or Alex Pereira, I think he's going to win either by decision or he's going to knock him out.
All right, man. So let's build out a little parlay on the pod. I like Alex Pereira to win by KO, TKO, round two, plus 650. I like those odds. What do you think? Wow.
Round two? Okay.
Round two, KO. If you go with round one, Alex Pereira, it's at plus 380. But I like the round two odds. You know, in the first round, sometimes these guys are feeling each other out. So I like these odds. Plus 650, round two KO, Alex Pereira.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, let's go with that one. Any final thoughts on that fight, or you want to move on to the next one?
No, we can move on.
All right, let's move on to the next one then. So, let's see. Let's go with the BMF title. Justin Gaethje takes on Max Holloway. Justin Gaethje's a minus 160 favorite. Opened as the minus 200 favorite, but money's coming in on Max Holloway. So Gaethje went from minus 200 to minus 160. Max is a plus 135 underdog. Max is moving up. Usually fights at 145. The one time he did fight at 155, it didn't go really well for him. Lost a unanimous decision to Dustin Poirier. Kind of looked like he his power didn't really transfer to the next weight class, and he was getting, you know, outstruck. And Dustin Poirier had a lot of power on Max Holloway, but he had a short training camp. Dustin Poirier had a full camp, so that could have played into it. Who knows? You know, that was a couple years ago, 2-3 years ago. But he's taking on Justin Gaethje, one of the hardest hitters in all of MMA. How do you see this fight going? The over-under is 4.5 rounds. A lot of people think this is going to go to a decision. How do you see the fight going?
Yeah, I think it goes to decision. You know, Holloway never even being dropped before in the UFC. It's like, I can't just sit here and say, oh, Holloway's going to get knocked out. He's never even been dropped before.
But first time for everything, though. You never know.
Yeah, and especially when he's going up in weight. I'm not as confident, you know, as him, you know, fighting in 145. Now he's going up to 155.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gaethje's going to do what he's been doing. He's going to, you know, go for that lower calf kick, the lower leg kick. He's going to try and take Holloway's legs from him early. You know, I think that's going to bother Holloway. I think he hasn't really fought somebody like Gaethje that has power for, you know, a 155, and then, you know, it's kind of technical with those leg kicks. So, I mean, we know what kind of fight it's going to be. It's going to be for the fans. It's going to be stand up. Nothing's going to the ground. It's going to be all striking. Yeah. I think it's the fight of the year, honestly. I think it's going to be a great fight. I got Gaethje by fight. Yeah. I think Gaethje's going to win by decision.
We've never seen Gaethje win a 5-round decision, though. His fights don't go 5 rounds.
Yeah.
Justin Gaethje. So I don't know if I can see Gaethje winning a decision. I think if he wins, he's probably going to get a TKO or a knockout or something. You know, because his power is incredible. But I think the longer the fight goes, it favors Max Holloway. Insane cardio, insane chin. Picks his shots, his rhythm and striking, his reach advantage. You know, I think Max Holloway, as the fight goes on, he's going to pick it up. He's going to, you know, put on volume on Gaethje, and I think he can take over in the later rounds. He's just got to avoid getting hurt in the early rounds. But Max Holloway's looked impressive in his last couple fights. I mean, he knocked out Korean Zombie in spectacular fashion in his last fight.
Yep.
You know, he beat Arnold Allen, Yair Rodriguez, Calvin Kattar. Those are solid wins against, you know, knockout artists. Lost a decision to Volkanovski, but he's 4-1 in his last 5. So he's on a little bit of a roll also. I don't know, man. Gaethje's 35 years old. He's kind of getting up there. You know, once fighters hit that 35, you know, age, it's kind of dicey at that point. I mean, we see it all the time. Volkanovski, you know, a bunch of other guys. Poatan's an anomaly. Daniel Cormier is an anomaly, but I'm going to go. Max is still kind of young, man. He's been in the UFC for a long time, but he started very young, and, you know, he's got good wins coming off a crazy knockout, so you know his confidence is going to be at an all-time high. Same with Gaethje because he knocked out Poirier, but I'm going to go Max by TKO in round 4.
Wow.
That's how I see it going. I don't know if I see a decision in this fight. I think these boys are going to, you know, put it on each other and someone's going to get hurt. I mean, we've seen Gaethje get wobbled a lot in his fights. He can definitely get knocked out. We've seen him get knocked out by Oliveira and Poirier in the past. And, you know, he's Eddie Alvarez. He's gotten knocked out before. So I think Max can do it coming off a crazy knockout. I'm going to go with Max, round 4 knockout.
Okay.
So
we're contrarian there.
That is my pick with that one. Let's see what else we got. Let's go over Bo Nickel briefly. Minus 2,500 favorite. There's no way Bo Nickel loses this fight, right?
I don't think so. I think Bo Nickel, we were talking about it earlier.
You don't like how the UFC is feeding him all these chumps, man.
No, I don't like it, man. I don't like it. I think Dana White needs to elevate Bo Nickel. We all know he's eventually going to be there. Why not throw him into the fire now? He's ready. He's dominating these guys.
They're giving him the O'Malley treatment. This is what happened with O'Malley for like the first 2 years. He fought a bunch of bums, nobodies. They built his confidence, and then he went through the rankings and eventually became champion. They're doing the same formula with Bo Nickel.
Yeah. And I think it's part of it is they want to show respect to the guys that have, you know, been there for so many years and deserve to stay in the top five or top 10, whatever it may be. But I think Bo Nickel has proven like he's dominated these guys. Like it's not even close. It's not even a contest. I think he needs, you know, I think he's going to dominate this one. He's going to finish this guy, Brundage.
And you think in the first round he's going to finish him?
Yeah, like first or second round.
First or second round.
For sure. It's going to be a finish. And after this, he needs to step up. He needs to take that step. He's ready. You know, All-American wrestler, can strike too, has knockout power. This guy is like, everyone thinks this guy's going to be champion one day. So why not start the process now?
Yeah, just trying to build him up, build his confidence. But not much to be said here. Bo Nickel is probably going to run through this guy pretty easily.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Cody Brundage. They're just feeding him to the wolves. I think my problem with this is that he's on the main card. This is not even like everybody else on the card is like ranked and former champions. And then this is like the one fight where like none of the guys are ranked, none of the guys are champion, and they put Bo Nickel on the main card.
Yeah, I don't like it. Yeah. He's obviously Dana White's guy. This is Dana
They're
White
spoon
saying,
feeding him.
Yeah. This is Dana White saying, hey, this is our guy. He's on the main card. He's going to win.
You know, a lot of eyeballs on this card, though. So they're going to try to, you know, put the spotlight on this kid at the biggest UFC event of all time.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm not saying I'm the most knowledgeable about, you know, the UFC, but I wouldn't consider myself a casual fan. Most, you know, real fans that watch almost every event know that Bo Nickel is, like, he's coming.
He's nice. Yeah, he's nice.
So I'd like to see Dana White on the next, you know, on Bo Nickel's next fight. Give him something. Throw him a bone.
So you're expecting Bo Nickel to finish this guy. Anything less is a failure for Bo Nickel.
I wouldn't say it's a failure. It would be...
like, if he gets a decision, I mean...
it depends. You know, if he dominates the whole fight, if it's, like, you know, a complete domination, I wouldn't say it's a...
I think he would be disappointed if he didn't get a finish.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. You know, you never know. But I think it's going to be domination, and he's going to finish him probably first or second round.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to a sleeper fight that could be the best fight of the night. Charles Oliveira versus Armin Terzukian. So the odds are -225 Armin and +185 Charles Oliveira. This is going to be a great fight, man. These guys are both, you know, this is a number one contender fight, in my opinion. Whoever wins this fight, I think, should fight Islam Makhachev. Yep. I think they deserve it over Poirier or Gaethje.
I agree.
Unless these guys have like a boring ass fight and both shit the bed. I think, you know, if these guys put on a relatively exciting fight and if one of them gets a finish, they should get the title shot.
Yeah.
In my opinion. What do you think?
I agree. I like Oliveira at the 2-1 underdog. I think there's value there. I'm not saying I would, you know, I don't think he's going to win, or I'm saying he's the favorite, but I think there's value. Anytime you can get Charles Oliveira at 2-1 against somebody that's not a champion, I think that's good value.
Charles does have the height and reach advantage on this guy. 5'10 to 5'7, 74-inch reach to 72.5-inch reach. So he's definitely got the reach advantage. I'd give Armin definitely the strength advantage, the wrestling advantage. Striking's debatable, but jiu-jitsu probably Charles, but, you know.
Experience Charles, I mean.
Yeah, but Armin, you know, he's got a good experience, man. When he fought Islam Makhachev, you know, he was out-wrestling him in a couple of exchanges, and that's impressive. Nobody out-wrestles that guy.
Yeah.
So his wrestling is top-notch. So I don't think Charles Oliveira's jiu-jitsu, I think Armin's wrestling is going to be able to neutralize Charles Oliveira's jiu-jitsu just because his wrestling is so elite and he's a very strong guy. He's thick. He's powerful. Kind of like Chandler, how he was able to out-muscle Oliveira on the ground with the jiu-jitsu. So I think this guy's in the same realm. His wrestling is elite. If you can out-wrestle Islam Makhachev in some exchanges, then your wrestling is elite.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to go Armin in this fight. I think he's going to finish Charles. I'm going to go round two knockout.
Round two knockout.
I think he's going to knock him out. Oliveira's been dropped in a lot of his fights recently, and I think that's going to catch up to him eventually. I think Armin's going to knock out Oliveira in the second round.
Is it three rounds or five rounds?
It is a three-round fight.
Okay. I'm going to go Armin by decision. I think he's going to, I don't want to say point fight, but he's going to control the ground game, not take too much damage from Oliveira, and kind of just, you know, scrape away with a win. I don't know if he get, if Armin wins, does he get the title shot against Makhachev?
I wouldn't. I'd give it to him. If he finishes Charles, I'd give it to him.
If he wins by a decision and it's an ugly, boring fight, does he get it over Gaethje if Gaethje knocks out Holloway?
I don't know. It's tough because Poirier is coming off a good knockout as well. So I don't know. There's a lot of options there.
Yeah. So, I mean, if Armin wins in boring fashion, not impressive, but scrapes by with a win, I give Gaethje the title shot. If he,
I might even give, it depends how Gaethje fights too. If Gaethje wins by a decision, then I'd probably give it a Poirier. I'd probably give the title shot to Poirier. He's coming off round one knockout.
Yeah. I can't give it to Poirier over Gaethje after Gaethje knocked him out.
But you can, because you can say that, okay, it's 1-1 and Poirier's knocked out Gaethje before. So
yeah,
it's not like, you know, Poirier never had a win over Gaethje. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if, you know, if Gaethje scrapes by with a decision and Armin scrapes by with a decision and Dana White's not too impressed, but, you know, Dustin Poirier just knocked out Benoit, up-and-coming guy, might give it to Poirier.
Yeah. I think 155 is like a traffic jam. It's the gauntlet. It's the most competitive. It's hard to say who's got the next title shot.
And I will say, you never know also, because Armin, Charles, Gaethje, and Max can all take crazy damage in these fights. Dustin Poirier's fresh. Islam's fresh. Poirier took no damage in that fight, knocked the guy out. Islam's been sitting on the couch for a year. They could put that one together right away.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? If all those guys take massive damage and Poirier's just sitting there with no damage and, you know, Islam's interested in that fight. He came out and tweeted that he would love to fight Dustin Poirier. It'd be an honor. So, I mean, why not? He's coming off a great knockout.
That's a good perspective. So, I agree with that.
What if Gaethje wins and he takes massive damage, and what if Armin and Charles take massive damage and they're not ready to fight in like 2 or 3 months? Poirier's ready. He's right there.
Yeah.
He's on the helm, so.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's,
I think,
a good
Poirier's
point.
In a great, great spot. That he's in a great spot because he's coming off a great win and he's fresh. So if these guys don't perform, then he might just skip the line and get the shot.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why I like Gaethje against Holloway, because I think Gaethje has ran the gauntlet, not necessarily been super successful. You know, he's had his title shots and lost, but he's used to the gauntlet of the 155 weight class. You know, Holloway has a loss. He's coming up from 145. He's lost to, you know, Prime Volk. You know, probably will eventually lose to Topuria at 145, you know, for the belt.
He's a lot bigger than Topuria, so styles make matchups.
Yeah. So, I mean, I see Gaethje, I see him beating Holloway by decision, and then, you know, I think he deserves a title shot one more time.
But does a decision get him a title shot over a knockout? Because Poirier's coming off a knockout. Why would a decision get you a title shot? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good point. I just think 155 is so fucked, man. I think that's the one, to me, that's the best division in the UFC is 155. I think it's, I mean, you go from Khabib, Makhachev, Oliveira, Poirier, Gaethje. I mean, it's like there's just too many great fighters in that division to make it fair. Somebody's ultimately going to get screwed over,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then if Oliveira loses, and then does Armin get the title shot? I think 155 is by far the best division competitive-wise.
I do think if Armin finishes Charles in spectacular fashion, even if Gaethje gets a finish, I think Armin should get the title shot.
Wow. Yeah.
I think he should get the title shot because he's proven that he can beat Makhachev. He didn't get dominated on the ground. He didn't get dominated on the feet. Won a round. Why wouldn't you give him a title shot?
Yeah, that's fair to say.
And that fight was like 3 years ago. Both those guys have gotten better. You know, Armin's gotten better. So why not run it back?
Yeah, they have to run it back. And Makhachev, you know, he's like you said, he's been sitting on the couch. It's time for him that he has to defend that belt.
Yep.
And it's got to be against, you know, the top contender. So,
and if Charles gets a win also, he should get the title shot because he's finished Poirier, he's finished Gaethje, and if he finishes Armin, dude, the guy, you got to give him the title shot.
Yeah.
I think you have to give him the title shot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because he KO'd Gaethje, he slept Poirier, and if he KOs this guy or sleeps this guy, got to give him the shot.
So how do you think it's going to play out? Like, what do you think is going to actually happen?
That's tough to say. But honestly, I think Dustin Poirier is going to get the title shot.
Yeah.
I think Poirier is going to get the title shot. There's already been talks about it. He's already tweeted about it. You know, he's had cryptic tweets saying he's already training. He's back to work. He's gotten a contract. Islam is interested in the fight. They're both fresh. Poirier's coming off a knockout. Dana White loved that performance. He did it in Miami in front of Trump in spectacular fashion. He put asses in seats, performed, didn't bitch and complain when he lost to Gaethje. And when Dana White presented him with an up-and-coming killer, instead of being like, man, I don't want to fight someone that's lower than me, he went out there and knocked this fool out in the first round. Yep. Dana White loves shit like that, bro. If you don't complain and then you perform, it's like, shit, you know?
Yeah.
This kid's got it. And it's not like, you know, he doesn't have a win over Gaethje and his title shots weren't super competitive. Arguably, he gave Khabib his hardest title fight ever. So if I'm Dana White, I'm like, what's the hardest matchup for Islam Makhachev? It's probably Armin or Dustin Poirier, in my opinion. Because Gaethje looked bad against Khabib. He didn't look good at all. And, you know, Charles got finished super quick by Islam. So I think the hardest two matchups for Makhachev is Armin or Dustin Poirier.
Yeah.
In my opinion. But I think if that Armin and Charles fight goes to a decision and the Gaethje fight goes to a decision, and Gaethje takes a lot of damage, I think Poirier is going to get the title shot.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going to happen. What do you think is going to happen?
Man, it's impossible to tell. I will say whatever does happen, I'll be fine with it. You know, I used to rank on Dana White in the past, but the guy is the best of the best.
I wouldn't be mad if Poirier got a title shot.
Yeah, I think he's the best of the best of making the right decision on who gets the title shot, what are the best fights available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like boxing where guys are hiding from each other. The UFC, the best guys fight each other, and it's like right away. There's no hiding. But if I had to guess, man, I would say the safe thing is Oliveira wins by decision or something like that and gets a rematch with Makhachev. And
so
he might win.
So you think Oliveira's going to win?
Yeah.
You think Oliveira's going to beat Armin? That stuff, I mean, I could see him winning. He's a great fighter, man. He didn't look great against Islam, but, you know, goes out and KOs Beneil. Armin KOs Beneil, so he's 34. He's still got gas left in the tank. So I think Oliveira's motivated. And I think that's going to be the best fight of the night.
Yeah.
It's going to be the highest level fight, I think, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Those two guys, it's going to be something. But I think Armin squeaks it out. I just think his wrestling and his strength is going to get him the dub over Charles. And he's younger. He's 27 years old. And the guy's up and coming. So he's only got room to improve, you know? It's like how much, you know, more does Charles have?
Right.
I mean, he's been there, done that. He's had the title. He's defended the title. He's KO'd, subbed a lot of people, been around a long time. You know, Armin's young and hungry, man. This guy's up and coming, almost beat Islam. So, you know, he's super motivated. He's like, in the back of his head, he's like, I know I can beat this fool, you know?
Yep.
So this guy's super motivated, super hungry. He hasn't had a taste of that. So I just think those are going to factor into why he's going to win the fight. So I'm going to go with Armin, round 2, knockout.
Okay.
And if that happens, then I don't know what the fuck I was saying with Poirier. If he knocks out Oliveira in round two, then he's getting the title shot for sure.
Yeah.
So he's in the top five already, so why not?
Yeah, he definitely deserves that rematch with Makhachev if he beats Oliveira.
Now, would that fight be more entertaining than a Poirier? Would a Armin fight with Islam be more entertaining than a Poirier and Islam fight? No, it wouldn't. And would it sell more? No, it wouldn't. Which is why I think Poirier might get the title shot. Because I think the fans would be more interested in it. And I think it'd sell more pay-per-views.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I agree. And I think if Oliveira and Armin goes down to the wire, who gets the nod? It's going to be Oliveira. Because Armin, we saw Armin versus Makhachev 3-4 years ago. It was a boring-ass fight. Mostly all of Makhachev's
It's a boring fight if you're a casual. But that was a high-level wrestling, super high-level wrestling match.
But you know, that doesn't really sell as much as a Poirier would, or, you know, a UFC legend like Oliveira, or even a Gaethje. You know, Gaethje, is he the most talented, skilled? Probably not, but he's the funnest to watch. So it'll be interesting. I think UFC has blown some calls in the past, you know, whether it's a referee or whatever, like, you know, Strickland got robbed in Canada. I could see if it goes down to decision somehow, them just giving it to Oliveira because, you know, Oliveira is a legend. He's got a bigger following probably than Armin does. So it'll be interesting to see. But if I'm thinking about it, some reason I think Oliveira is going to pull it out and he's going to get a rematch with Makhachev.
Yep. All righty. Let's go over two more fights. So let's go over. So this fight is the main event on the prelims. It's Jiří Procházka taking on Alexander Rakic. Jiří Procházka is 29-4. Rakic is 14-3. Rakic is a favorite -120. Jiří's sitting at +100. Pretty much a pick 'em fight. Rakic hasn't fought in 2 years. He hasn't fought since May 14, 2022 versus Błachowicz, and he blew his knee out in that fight. And then Jiří's coming off the KO loss to Alex Pereira. How do you see this one going? This one's pretty much a pick-em fight, I think. Yeah,
I could honestly, it's a pick-em. I could see it going either way.
Because Rakic is super talented, man. You know, we're watching him fight, and you know, the guy's got skills, man.
And he's a house. He's
I don't
a
know
tank.
How that fucking guy makes 205.
He looks like a bodybuilder, like a heavyweight or something.
That guy's got to walk in there at like 230, bro, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure, 100%.
I mean, I'm going to go with Jiří here, and Jiří might be the underdog. I don't know what the odds are, but...
I just said he's +100.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's like a pick-em.
It's like a pick-em.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Jiří. I'm picking Jiří. You know, we thought he looked good against Poatan. You know, got caught slipping a little bit, but he was ultimately winning the fight against Pereira. The champion.
Yep.
Kind of got caught slipping there. But I think, you know, Jiří made his comeback against Poatan, threw himself right into the fire, threw himself to the wolves. Now, the roles flipped. You know, he's ready. You know, he's not going to get caught slipping again. I see him winning, not by knockout, but maybe by a submission or decision. I'm forgetting the guy's name already, the bigger guy.
Rakic.
He's so big and powerful. I don't know if Jiří's going to be able to knock him out or necessarily, you know, overpower him, but I can see Jiří. I think he's going to, you know, scrape out a win here. And
dude, I'm on the other side, man. I think Rakic is gonna knock him out. And you know why I say that? Because Jiří, man, he holds his hands so low, right? He's so unorthodox. Like, he's awkward, but man, he's like wide open to get hit. And this guy's fast. This guy's big. This guy's powerful.
And this guy gets hit a lot too, though. Rakic?
He does. He gets hit a lot. So that's why I think someone's getting finished in this fight 100%.
Yeah.
Even though Rakic hasn't been finished in the UFC. But I don't, it's just something about fighters coming off KO losses that I can't get over. You know what I'm saying? Volkanovski, right? And then you have Usman. I can't get over guys that have been knocked out in their last fight. To me, it's hard to pick those guys, right?
But Jiří wasn't like a, it wasn't like a Usman or a Volkanovski knockout.
He took brain damage though, for sure.
Yeah, from Poatan for sure. But
yeah, when you get dropped like that and you're getting elbowed in the side of the temple, a guy took brain damage for sure.
Yeah, but to me, he was still, I mean, yeah, they stopped it, but I thought it was an early stoppage. I thought he was still kind of there.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just those guys coming off KOs I can't get over, man. I mean, I called it against Volkanovski. I'm like, bro, this guy's coming back way too early. I think Jiří might be coming back a tad early, and I don't know. Rakic's been on the helm for 2 years, probably training, improving his skills, hasn't taken any head damage in that time. And Yuri's kind of a quick bounce back here, maybe in a little bit of a hurry, some would say. So I'm going to go Rakic. I think a lot of people don't know about this guy, and he's kind of a sleeper, and people haven't really seen him fought in 2 years. There's a reason why the odds makers have this guy as the favorite, because they know this guy's the real deal. I mean, he was ranked number 3 when he was fighting Jan, and he was piecing up Jan in that fight too. So why not? I'm gonna go with Rakic in this one. I think he's gonna knock him out, man, honestly. And I hate to say that because I really like Jiří. He's one of my favorite fighters, but I think Rakic is gonna knock him out.
Yeah.
So I'm going Rakic KO. Man, I don't know why round two, but I'll go Rakic KO round 3.
Yeah, I mean, Rakic definitely looks the part. You look at that guy, he's like...
He's huge.
He's a
bro.
Solid rock. I mean, full body. He's like full body, legs, arms. He's built like a freaking tank.
Yep. So I'm going to give a parlay for the people. I'm going Alex Pereira to KO Jamahal Hill in round 2. That's my first leg. My second leg, I'm going Armin Tezukian to KO Charles Oliveira, round 2. I'm on this round 2 trend. I'm going to go Max Holloway by decision to keep it safe. And then I'm going to throw in Alexander Rakic KO, round 3. That's my parlay right there for the people.
Okay.
What's your parlay? Give a parlay for the people. What's your parlay?
Parlay, I'm going to do a 3-teamer.
Do a 3-teamer.
3-legger. Keep it safe.
You know what? I'll take Rakic out. I'll just do Max decision, Poatan round 2 KO, and Armin round 2 KO.
I'm going to keep it really safe. I'm going to do Gaethje money line.
Okay.
I'm going to do Pereira money line.
My God.
Yeah. And then I'm going to go with... I'll do a rounds. I'm going to do... Let's see.
That's 2 fighters right there. You have Gaethje and Poatan.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna do.
You're gonna do Oliveira?
Nah, I don't like that one. I'm gonna do the conservative route. I'm gonna do Bo Nickel.
Oh, come on, bro! You're not gonna win any money off that, bro.
A 3-teamer.
Oh my god!
I'll do
god.
Like Bo Nickel, like under.
Bro, you put that in, you'll win like $2 in return, bro.
Hey, it's profit. It's money.
You're going all the heavy favorites.
Yep.
Joe. All right, man. All right, guys, that'll do it for us. Podcast episode 41, UFC 300. Guys, make sure to follow us on our social medias, our YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, at The Joe and Joey Show. We post daily clips, shorts, every single day. Anything else you want to say for the people before we wrap it up?
Enjoy the best card ever from the UFC. It'll be a great weekend at the Sphere in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's going to be a great one, guys. Alrighty, guys, have a good one. Take care.
Feeling like Michael Jordan with the Bulls. Feeling like I'm about to raise KG with the Timberwolves. I'm getting pulled in all kinds of directions. To the game, yeah, you know that that's the best one. So just watch or just listen to the guys. Tune in to the show. Joe and Joey on the ride. So just watch or just listen to the guys tuning in to the show. Joe and Joey on a ride.